Let us pray together. O merciful God, let now the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you drive a car, don't you just hate it when this happens? Traffic slows down, and somebody in this lane wants to get over into yours. And cars keep going by, so they have to wait. But you slow way down, and you motion them in, and they go in. And off they go. And they did not wave. They did not even nod to say they appreciate it. What is up with that? Does that guy think I have to let him in? That I've got no place I've got to get to, that he can just show up and I owe him? Not everybody was nice. I was nice. I want my thank you wave. I'm joking. A little. Honestly, I don't need to be thanked, but I do feel a twinge of disapproval. And it is because I think something larger has been triggered. A feeling that's been building for years, that nothing is more galling than people who live their lives feeling entitled. It is so presumptuous and thoughtless to take all your privileges and comforts for granted, take people for granted, entitlement, the root of greed, indifference, arrogance, rudeness. Is there anything more essential to character than gratitude? A pervasive awareness that all around us is gift, that none of this was owed to us. All is gift. So how can we really be human if not with gratefulness? This is why we're so careful to teach our children. Say thank you. What do you say? Thank you. Because this is not just a matter of being polite. It is a matter, if you're able, of being rightly human. And there is no word in our language uglier or more damning than the word ingrate. Which is why the most striking thing I believe Jesus ever said was this: God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. What a staggering thing to say, that God is kind to the ungrateful. I revel in how Jesus was great friends with sinners, the morally questionable, social pariahs, lawbreakers. I love that God lavishes kindness on sinners, but to be kind to the ungrateful? What do you think of that? We church folk love to talk about grace, defined as the unmerited favor of God. The lavishing of generous love, forgiveness, acceptance, and delight on us who can't possibly earn it for ourselves or be deserving of it. Amazing grace for all sinners, but grace for the ungrateful. grateful. The lavishing of God's generous love, forgiveness, and delight on people who feel entitled, who are unappreciative and presumptuous, who have an iron wall around their heart. God's kindness lavished on these. Talk about unmerited favor. It's almost offensive. Grace uncomfortably amazing. A priest in a Graham Greene novel says, "You can't conceive, my child, nor can I or anyone, the appalling strangeness of the mercy of God." But here's a further strangeness. After Jesus says God is kind to the ungrateful, in the very next breath, he says, "You be merciful as God is merciful," which includes mercy for the ungrateful and the wicked. So let's try something. I would like for you now to call to your mind someone who seems to fit the part. Picture in your mind someone you have observed from a distance or close up who strikes you as ungrateful, entitled, unheeding, taking good fortune for granted, taking other people for granted. Ungrateful. Can you see them? Because I can. And now let us imagine God looking on them with love. God lavishing on them kindness, forgiveness, outrageous generosity. Imagine Christ embracing them, sitting at their table, breaking bread for them, blessing them. How are you doing with that? Then here's another question. Did anyone hear when I asked you to think of someone who seems to be living the ungrateful life, presumptuous, entitlement, unheeding? Did any one of us picture ourselves? Set aside then the fact that we really are people who generally say thank you. And very often when we are thinking of many of our blessings, we enjoy feelings of gratitude welling up. Set that aside. And now let us recall the fact that we exist at all is miraculous. And we've awakened this morning to live a new day. And we have people who love us, people we love. And so many sweet pleasures and comforts and opportunities in our days. And the universe is breathtaking, and not least, we who along the way have done real harm to others and done real harm to ourselves and to the world. We are cherished, forgiven, shown a better way, and set free to live in wonderful purpose. With all this and more in mind, please wonder this with me. Measured by how we actually think and how we speak and how we act, is it possible that after all, we are among the ungrateful, the presumptuous, unheeding, taking so much for granted? Might some keen observer from elsewhere find reason to say to some of us, of some of us, ingrate. So, if you did conjure a moment ago someone that you're pretty sure represents the ungrateful life, the feeling entitled and presumptuous and unheeding life, I invite you to let them vanish and to see yourself in their place and see now what you imagined before. God looking on you with absolute love. God's being kind, perfectly forgiven, giving outrageously generous to you. Imagine Christ embracing you at your table, breaking bread for you, blessing you. Now, does it sound any different when you hear Jesus' words again? That God is kind to the ungrateful. Be merciful as God is merciful. It's in this light, this warm, beautiful light, that we're to hear some of the hardest, most difficult words that Jesus ever taught. This is the lead up to his words about God's mercy for the ungrateful. He says, love your enemy. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who hurt you. If anyone hits you on the face, offer the other side. If anyone takes away your coat, give them your shirt too. If you love those who love you, what credit is that? If you lend to those you know will pay you back, what credit is that? Crooks do those things. But love your enemies. Do good, lend, expect nothing in return, and then you will be children of the Most High. It is the most natural thing in the world to hear words like that as unreasonable, impossible, naive, unnatural, maybe masochistic. But what if that teaching is simply and only about mercy? The mercy on our lives and on the lives of people we might think of as our enemies, people who are hard for us to like, people who have hurt us, that we quarrel with or resent, people we might find ourselves hating. The same mercy that is on us is on them and on us both together, on us all together. And that is why we love our enemy, because under the mercy, we are the same. That, and because this happens to be the only way to change the world. Isn't this the deep meaning of Jesus' strange instruction? If an enemy strikes you, turn your face to them. What if the turning of the face is to give a second look? To give them a chance to see us in truer light, to give ourselves a second look at them through more compassionate eyes, to recognize ourselves in them and recognize the mercy on us both and to extend it. This is how we practice love for those we find it hard to love. We choose what will define us. We will not be defined by anybody's meanness. What defines us is mercy, which means we are free not to react. We are free to act. Notice that Jesus did not say, if someone hits you, just take it. He said, if it happens, you take initiative to do something new that might change the process and stop the cycle. As someone has said, hatred is just a lack of imagination. Maybe it goes deeper than those biblical words, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Maybe much better, do for others what God's mercy has done for you. Charles Williams was a friend of C.S. Lewis and of J.R.R. Tolkien, too. Williams was himself a writer of fantasy and a Christian, and he was instrumental in the conversion of C.S. Lewis. He had an odd phrase, he made it up, that he often used when saying goodbye to some folks. It was a kind of benediction. It was, go under the mercy. Tolkien and Lewis and other friends started using it too in some of their goodbyes. Good night, go under the mercy. See you next week, go under the mercy. The phrase was carved into Charles Williams' tombstone. What a way to understand your life in a difficult and beautiful world. We, the insufficiently thankful, knowing that the compassion of God spreads over us, freeing us to speak and act and to think with compassion. And so we wish for it, and we claim it, and we speak it over our lives and the lives of those we love and those we're finding it hard to love enough, that God is kind to the ungrateful. To say to each other and to all, go under the mercy.